He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, that you've blessed us so abundantly through your love for us in Christ. Father, we ask that this time that by the Holy Spirit who is given us the first fruits, the first pledge, the first installment of our inheritance is the indwelling Spirit, and how the Spirit witnesses to us of glorious and mighty things not seen, not heard, not yet known, but we know they are there because of the witness of the Spirit and the presence of the Spirit. Father, we just ask that by the Spirit, you open our eyes and our understanding and our faith to receive all that you have for us, that we might walk with you boldly with joy and peace in believing. We thank you, dear God, for each other and for this opportunity to worship you together. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I was going to start in one place, but I might read this verse here first. Let me double check. I'm going to read, if you want to turn to Psalm 40, I just want to read one verse from Acts chapter 3. It's Acts chapter 3, verse 26. But if you want to turn to Psalm 40, that's where I'm going to go. But in Peter's response to those that gathered, they'd seen the healing of the lame man and Jesus responding to them, diverting the attention from him and John to Jesus. It was Jesus that healed, not Peter and John. They had no magic, no power, no ability of their own, but it's faith in Christ that made this man, that made that man whole. But the last verse of that chapter, he says, "Unto you first," I mean, unto Israel first, "having raised up his son Jesus," unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. To bless you. In turning away every one of you from his iniquities. God has sent to us Jesus to bless us. In thinking about this message today, you know, we'll go to Psalm 40. Much like last week, it's something very, very simple, very ordinary, yet beyond our wildest imagination. God has blessed us through Jesus. This word blessed in the New Testament, in the Greek, is where we get our word eulogy, like you have a eulogy at a funeral service. Eulogy means to speak well of someone, to eulogize them, talk about their life, and speak well of them. Hopefully that's what it takes. Some funerals, it's not so clear-cut. But it means to speak well of, but also means to prosper someone, to bless them with whatever, things, encouragement, any kind of, but it means to, it's a good word spoken to us. It's like good news, like we spoke last week of the gospel, the good news. A eulogy is good news. It's good, not only just words, but also blessings, tangible, real blessings to prosper us, spiritually. Jesus came into this world to prosper us. Jesus himself said, "I'm come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." More abundantly. Joy. "My joy I leave with you." What a blessing. What a blessing to have this good news, these good words spoken to us to bless us and to lift us up and to encourage us through days in this world that can be so very, very discouraging, very dark. We live in a dark and darkening world, but it makes all the more, the light of the gospel all the more evident and prevalent, as we'll read here in Psalm 40, is when we walk in the goodness of God and the blessings of God, and we express thanksgiving to God, and we are just enraptured with the presence of God and the knowledge of God in our lives, that shines as a light. That has an impact on the world around us. So as we recognize our blessings and celebrate our blessings, as we enjoy our blessings, we should never feel guilty about enjoying God's blessings. We might, we should give God thanks. There are those around us, we know that from time to time. We run into someone, why doesn't God bless me? Why doesn't the good things happen to me? Why does all this bad stuff happen? Well, do you trust God? Are you looking to God? Do you have faith in God? Do you believe God wants to bless you? Do you believe that He loves you? Well, yeah, I believe that, but why doesn't He do good things for me? I need money. I need this. I need that. There's some doubt. There's some fear. There's some unbelief mixed in with that. But there's also a matter of trust. But when God blesses us in whatever way, it is always good to, it's not boasting, it isn't to make other people jealous, but it's to proclaim the faithfulness, the reality of God blessing us, doing good things for us. I was reading this work this week, and I believe it was in Psalms, but I didn't look it up, but it just stuck in my heart that something to the effect is that blessed are those who water, for they shall be watered themselves. Something along those lines. Blessed is he that watereth. Those that give, those that provide, those that provide needful life and refreshing for others and are a source of water, they themselves will be watered and blessed. So we thank God, and we should thank God. We should be openly thankful for the goodness of God, for the blessings that He gives us. So turning to Psalm 40, and I'd like to read the first five verses. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. We are showered. We are blessed with showers of blessing. We have a song, showers of blessing, or count your blessings. We cannot name them one by one, but we can start naming them and recalling them. And what a blessing it is, and what an experience it is to be able to recognize the blessings of God, how He has blessed us. Romans 1, Paul talks about how God has been a witness to everyone, that even those that say they do not believe, he has witnessed of His power and His glory in creation. The witness is there, but people refuse to acknowledge it. Oftentimes, well, what good things has God done? Well, are you breathing right now? The human body is a pretty amazing thing. I work with a lot of people and call on a lot of people who are gradually losing their ability to breathe. And we've sometimes we forget what a blessing it is to be able to just to take a breath of air, to renew and enable our body to continue to function. So many simple things that God provides for us and does in our lives that are blessings that we have to be thankful for. But as verse 1 starts out, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Faith and looking to God requires patience. That's repeated again and again throughout Scripture. We have need of patience that we might inherit the promises. We don't pray and expect God or every time to answer our prayer immediately, but sometimes he does. Sometimes it's years. Sometimes it's decades. Sometimes it's over a lifetime that we see how the Lord has answered a prayer. But David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me. God listened and gave heed to David's prayers. And David said, he heard my cry. He said, God is faithful. And what a blessing it is to be able to call on God, and he hears me. He knows me. He knows my situation. And therefore I can wait patiently knowing that he will respond in his due time to my prayer. And in the meantime, I can rejoice because I know God will bless me. I know he will meet my needs. I know he will keep me. In verse 2, he writes, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. The margin here in the Schofield Bible defines a horrible pit out of a pit of noise. We live in a noisy world. There's lots of noise. There's lots of noises being made. Lots of things to attract our attention and to distract us from that quiet voice, that still voice of God. We live in a world that competes for what we hear. As my family well knows, why mess up a good movie with all this other unnecessary noise? I just want to hear the story. I don't want to hear all the noise. Sometimes our lives can become a lot of noise, a lot of contrasting opinions, a lot of contrasting distractions to turn us away from the things of God and just to clutter our minds. We hear that, you know, that God loves me, but we all hear all these noises and this talk about how God doesn't love and he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. And we can get distracted. We can get discouraged if we begin to embrace those sort of thoughts. But David says he brought me up out of a horrible pit or a pit of noise to a quiet place. To a quiet place. Let me read on here. And out of the miry clay. If you live in Nebraska and you've tried to walk around in the dirt around here after a rain, it is slick and miry. There's a lot of clay. It's hard to move. It's hard to catch your feet. Clay balls up on the bottom of your shoes, and it's hard to even lift your feet. But the Lord brought me up out of a lot of contrary noise and uncertain footing and set my feet upon a rock, a solid rock, if you would, that's not slippery at all, and established my goings. He's set up and established the thing he has called me to, the things that David is supposed to be doing. He's no longer trapped in all the noise and the arguments back and forth and the discussion and the doubts and the fears. He set me in a straight path on a solid rock. And what a blessing that is. That God redeems us, he rescues us. He sent Jesus into this world to bless us and give us a solid footing and a clear direction in our lives in this world. And then that alone is a blessing. There are many blessings, but that alone, just to have a solid footing and clear direction in our lives, so much of the world does not have that. So many people in the world do not have that. They're fearful of the next headline, the next news story. They're fearful of the the next news program and what that might carry. And they live in dread and they fear. They're in fear of the next disease and the next cure sometimes. And there's all manner of stuff that when a person gets caught up in that, their life is lived in terror and in trouble and turmoil. But not so when we cry to the Lord, remembering that God the Father has sent Jesus into this world that he might bless us. All we need do is cry to the Lord and wait on him and wait for the blessing of God in Christ. And it will be there. It will come. Verse 3, David says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." A new song. You know, when we're caught in times of trouble and turmoil, and things are discouraging, troubling us, things that might aggravate us or anger us, things that might kind of put us on edge, and then the Lord sees us through, as David's referring to here, and he sets me upon a rock and establishes my goings, that results in a new song of thanksgiving, a new song of praise. The thoughts that we think, the words that we speak, he's put a song of rejoicing in my mouth that I can sing in the darkest of times and the most troubling of times, and it's a new song, a new song. I think one of the most amazing things in the life of a Christian is experiencing new blessings. I think it's in Jeremiah, it says that the mercies of the Lord are new each day. There was a lady I used to work with, Dorothy, that got to witness her time of coming, of being saved at a late age, you know, in her 50s or early 60s in life, and how it completely changed her countenance. I mean, she was kind of a dour, you know, unhappy-looking person. All of a sudden, she showed up with this brand-new smile, and I'd been talking to her off and on, others had been talking to her, and she told me, she said that she had become a Christian. But later, a few weeks later, she was getting kind of, you know, sad looking again. She said, "Well, I just thought when I got saved that all my problems would go away. That the Lord would take away all my, you know, longings for things that are not pleasing to him, and it, all that would just go away." But she says, "But it's still there. It's kind of coming back." I said, "You know, you've had that kind of honeymoon period when you become a believer. But what you find out is the reality is that Jesus still, that sin that within us, that darkness within us, is still in the flesh, but you are no longer in the flesh, you're in the spirit. And so we have to learn to take victories. We have to learn to experience conflicts with the enemy and overcome. We learn to overcome those things that seem contrary. And we cry out to the Lord as David did in verse 1. He cried out to the Lord and he patiently waited, and then the Lord blessed him. He brought him up out of that problem. We are going to have problems in this life. Jesus spoke of that. In this world you shall have tribulations. The Gospel of John 16 and verse 33. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, or be encouraged. Be having courage. I have overcome the world. So we walk around, we live in a defeated world, in a world which those things that stand against God are already defeated, they just don't know it, but we know it. And we can rejoice knowing that we walk in the midst of a defeated enemy, and there's joy. But this brings a new song. As we grow, as we learn, as we our knowledge, our experience with God expands and grows, and we build up these testimonies in our life, and these things that, you know, that God does work in. He reminds us of that, and we have this practical experience of the power and the love and the blessings of God in Christ. Each new victory gives us a new song, a new reason to be thankful, a new reason to rejoice. a new reason in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, or at least in this verse. I didn't look up all the different ways the word blessing, what they might come from. But this word blessed in verse 4, it's like the very first psalm, you know, blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It means happy, or how happy is a better way to translate. How happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust? How exceedingly happy to be prospered by God himself as we walk through this world, as we put our trust in him. We might face difficult circumstances and situations, but bit by bit, day by day, as the Lord blesses us and makes us happy in difficult times, and we overcome circumstances by faith in God, and we make our prayer and our request known to God, and we wait, and we realize that God has inclined his ear toward me, and he's heard my cry, and then he raises us up. That resurrection power that raises us up out of the realm of the dead and the dying and the failing and the darkness. He raises us up into that plane of thanksgiving, of rejoicing, of seeing with spiritual eyes and having that witness of the Spirit in our hearts that, you know, these circumstances aren't as bad as what we think, because God is greater. God is greater. That's a new song we learn, a new experience with God. And the Lord puts that new song in our mouth. What comes out of the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart. So he blesses our hearts, he blesses our minds within these experiences, and what comes out of us is a new song. Each new experience for a believer can results in a special, like our own special new song. Even as we read in Revelation chapter 5 about the the 24 elders and the four living creatures and that multitude before the throne in Revelation 5, it says that unto them was given a new song, and they sang it, a song never before heard, never before sung. A song of rejoicing. Our lives are to be a perpetual, building of a repertoire, if you would, of new songs, new experiences, new victories, new blessings that we experience at the hand of God that results in joy and peace in believing. But he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. This is where our testimonies, this is where just all we have to do is react to the blessings of God, receive them for what they are, be thankful, just live our lives and credit God with our joy, credit God with our victories, credit God with the things that we're able to accomplish, and that becomes a powerful testimony to those around us. I'm trying to think who it was. I'm sort of remembering. But I was talking to a man, I think it was on the phone, and the man was telling me about his conversion to Christianity in midlife. And he said, you know, he says, what I realized, he says, you know, I don't need to convince somebody, you know, hammer them with scriptures and say, you need to believe this, you need to believe that. He said, all I do, I just tell them what God has done for me, what Jesus has done for me. As a result, others shall see it and fear. Like this lady I spoke of, you could see she was a different person after she came to believe. She just radiated joy and happiness, and it was a complete character change for her. It was immediately recognizable. And the same is true for us. The people see that in our lives, even though we may have been a believer for a long time. They can see in our lives when we've experienced a new joy, a new blessing. There's a new song of praise and thanksgiving, new words of thankfulness that we have towards God. As we walk with God, as we look to God, as we cry out to God, as we wait on God, God blesses us. He calls us to be, oh, how happy we are. How happy I am that God did what he has done in my life up to this point. And I have every assurance that it will only keep getting better. How happy I am that Lord took me through and allowed me to get in a horrible pit in the miry clay, because I got to experience the power of God lifting me out, bringing me a deliverance, which put a new song, a new joy, a new hymn of praise, if you would, unto God. Because I've learned more and more and more, as we all do, day after day, experience from faith to faith, as Paul puts it. How able God is for our every circumstance, our every situation, every day. Every day. I'm looking forward to a day when I can give the testimony that I know the Lord will give me to have one day. I'm looking forward to that. But as along the way, I recount the blessings and how God has blessed and triumphed in my life, I look forward to that day when I can share one chapter that's been closed and one blessing that's been fully realized. But in the meantime, we wait patiently, knowing that God is able, knowing that He is working, and He gives us indications along the line that, you know, things are moving, things will happen. Don't worry. Be happy. Bad quote. Anyway, but many shall see it and trust. They too shall trust in the Lord. They too will recognize the goodness. Well, God's blessed me in that way too. You know, I can breathe. I have a roof over my head. As people learn not to take life for granted and realize what a blessing it is to have the everyday comforts that we have in this country, in our lives. Again, thinking of our brethren in the Congo, in Brother James, in thinking of their lives and the hardships that they endure, they don't see them as hardships, though they are. They give God thanks for what they have. They give God thanks for the gospel. They give God thanks for the opportunity to share the gospel in the midst of such darkness, in the presence of their enemies. Blessed is that man that maketh, verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Blessed. All of our blessings come from the Lord. Trouble that the Lord may allow in our lives, but the trouble that is intent to bring us down, like with Job, to discourage us, to make our lives miserable, come from the devil, who would destroy us, discourage us. But when we put our trust, place our trust, invest our trust in the faithfulness of God, that person will be and is blessed. The one that respects not the proud, nor such that turn aside to lies. Our confidence, our hope, our trust is in Christ. Our trust is in our God. Blessed are they who turn to God with all their need and entrust their keeping to Him. For we live in a safe place. We dwell, how many times we read in Psalms that David alludes to that, you know, God is our fortress. We dwell in a safe place with high walls. God is, when I'm outside that wall, that fortress, if the Lord calls us to a personal spiritual battle, well, the Lord is my shield. He's my buckler. We are equipped with the armor of the Spirit, as we read in Ephesians chapter 6. We can. It's okay to venture outside the fortress, out into the world, because God has equipped us with all that we need to overcome and to conquer in hand-to-hand, that in those individual hand-to-hand combat sort of battles. I think it's very hard for most of us to imagine walking out into a big open field with maybe hundreds of other people, walking toward hundreds of other people with a sword in your hand, a shield in your hand, a little bit of light armor, and get into hand-to-hand combat for hours. We don't face that typically. There are those like Mike that have, Don, Boyd. It's a fearful thing. But in hand-to-hand combat with swords, can be terrifying, should be terrifying. But for David to approach Goliath with a sling and a stone, he said, who is this big oaf insulting my God? Because my God is able. I've killed a bear by hand. I've killed a lion by hand. What's this uncircumcised Philistine compared to God? As we learn to look at our circumstances, as these things aren't against us, and we aren't to look to ourselves for strength, as we look to the Lord and make the Lord our trust, we will be blessed in ways that we can't even imagine. I was telling somebody yesterday at this memorial service that we had that, you know, looking back, you know, I just can't imagine me being where I am today, doing what I do, because that was just simply never a thought that entered my mind. But in all these years, God has blessed me and kept me and done things in my life I never possibly could have imagined. And I am blessed. I am blessed. I'm blessed in times of trouble. I'm blessed in times of rest. I'm blessed in the everyday sort of routines that we all get involved in. When we look for the blessings of God, when we look for how much we are blessed where we are, and we have that new song in our hearts and that word in our mouths, others see it and they begin to revere God and come to trust in the Lord also. We didn't respect the proud or those that turn to lies. You know, some people, their only strength are their lies. There's a circumstance going on in our lives right now in which a certain person or persons have literally turned to lies to attack me and to attack our cemetery issue. Just bold and blatant lies. And that's their strength, because they have nothing else. I just look at it and smile and go, you know, when the Lord finishes this work, their lies will be found out. And I'm not worried about me being vilified or me being, you know, people seeing that, you know, I was telling the truth all along or anything like that. I just want the Lord to be glorified. I'm waiting for that to sing that new song. And I can kind of hear it on the horizon, it seems. But there's no strength in lies because they will all fail. They're not truth. But God has blessed us in the truth. So verse 5, finally, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order with thee or unto thee. If I would declare them, declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. More than can be numbered. That's, in a sense, kind of be our song. God has blessed me more than I ever thought possible. I cannot remember. Unless we give God thanks for every breath of air we've taken all of our life, every morsel of food, every happiness, every life that we've encountered. If we can remember all of that, then we might have a good start. But God has blessed us even more than that, more than we realize. And that will be unveiled. That will be unveiled to us one day as we stand in his presence. We're blessed. Just kind of let that settle and sink in your hearts. Let it be your trust. Let it be your joy. And be aware. Be aware that we are blessed of the Almighty God in more ways than we can imagine and for all eternity, which is unimaginable to us. Thank God. Thank God for the blessings of God that he's given us in Christ, his Son. Amen. So as you come and take communion this morning, remember who it is that you commune with. The resurrected Christ. Amen.